Second Chronicles, from chapter 1 to chapter 9, is the account of the building of the tabernacle, and all the details are given there. And just point to some details. We're not touching his life. We've touched on his life before. Notice in chapter 3 and chapter 4 that everything that he made was larger than what Moses made. Most of it was at least about 10 times larger. Most of it was at least 10 times larger. And he didn't just have one lampstand. He had many lampstands. He didn't just have one lever. He had many levers, and also one big lever called the sea. That he has specially made, the bronze sea. That is in chapter 4. All these details are important because it tells you the magnitude of the revival that belongs to those who welcome the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you study Bible typology, just as Joseph is a type of Christ, Abraham is a type of Father God, etc., we know, I want to make this statement because Bible scholars will always, you know, have little details to look into. No type is perfect. But Solomon is a type. Is a type of the climax of the perfection of the bride before he falls. The part before he falls. Just like we don't take Abraham, the part when he fell. We don't take David when he fell. But we take the part that is clear-cut, that is a typology. And so Solomon signs, they build all these things. Some of those things are 10 times. We are not going into details on those areas, but each one of those details symbolize the extent and the might of the revival that God multiplies at the conclusion of the church age. So all the figures there are interesting. They have a truth involved. And where we are looking at is in chapter 6. Solomon, as he spoke, say these words in verse 5 and verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house. That is God speaking. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 5. And it says that my name should be there. So God has chosen Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem virtually did not exist as an Israelite city until the time of David. So that prophecy was not fulfilled under David's time, the prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 12. It was under the Jebusites, if you all recall. David conquered that. And in verse 6, it says, that my name might be there, nor did I choose any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, verse 6. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name may be there, and I had chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to him, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who will come forth from your own loins, he shall build a temple for my name. So Solomon realized that what he is doing was only the conclusion of what David began. And both of them may not realize it, but both Solomon and David were fulfilling Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, finally. After many, many, many years, it was going to be fulfilled. Now, how it was fulfilled is interesting. In that plot of land that God chose to build it, to build a temple. See, there was a special place that was to be chosen. In chapter 3 of 2 Chronicles, verse 1. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at a place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. Mount Moriah. That reminds you of Abraham. That reminds you of Calvary, Jesus Christ, Mount Moriah. Now it's interesting that place at Mount Moriah, where God chose to build a temple, that David was an instrument to determine the city and the area where the temple was to be built, that it all came out of weakness and not of strength. In his strength that God enabled him to fight the wars of God, he brought rest to Israel. He brought safety to Israel. But the most remarkable thing is that that plot of land was chosen at a time when David was in his weakness. And the book of Chronicles usually does not record the details or the failings of the kings, but it did record in 1 Chronicles the failing of David when he numbered the Israelites in chapter 21. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1 and 2. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." Now that was not God's will. That was David in his pride, wanting to know the size of his army, commanding Joab to go forth and number, that he may take pride in the size of his army. And when that took place, judgment started falling. And as the judgment of God was falling and the plague was taking place, David realized his mistake, and in chapter 21, in verse 14, "So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel died, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying," this is the judgment of God, "the Lord looked and relented the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, 'It is enough, now restrain your hand.' And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor, Onan, the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword, stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces." And David realized the mercy of God. And when that was determined in verse 18, "The angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite." That was how that place was chosen. The prophecy of Deuteronomy 12, verse 10 and 11. That was the manner in which the place was chosen and took place. It did not come in David's strength. It came as he was humbling himself and praying, repenting of his sin. Why? Because that is the place where sin was to be nailed down. And David bought it with a number of sin. He paid 600 shekels. Look over at this place here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Verse 25. David gave Onan 600 shekels of gold. If you study Bible numerology, 6 is the number of men and is the number of sin. And that is the place where God is also saying where he would nail sin to the cross. And for David, that temple that was to be built, the city and the place that was chosen, was not going to be a place that would be a monument to his great achievement, but it was a monument of the mercy of God. And I encourage you, if some of you have ever thought that your greatest moments would have come in your strength, surprise, surprise. Your greatest moments come because something beautiful, something good, in all your confusion, he brings something beautiful out of it. I marvel at that story. Because I realized how powerful that prophecy is in the Old Testament. And the way it came about so insignificantly. When David was repenting in sackcloth and ashes before God, that God brought it to pass. Not when David was holding his sword. He was a tremendous fighter. Not when David was leading the army, but when David was on his knees with all the elders of Israel, bowing down and repenting before God. Do you notice that all the high points in the Bible always find God's people on their knees in sackcloth and ashes? I know it may not be the style today with sackcloth and ashes, but it is a symbol of our coming to God with nothing. But realizing that unless God's mercy is shown forth, all man's exploits come to nothing. Unless His mercy is shown, all men's ways are in vain. Sadly, Solomon didn't realize the entire thing. But yet God's mercy was there. Now, if you notice something in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 26, when David built an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord, do you notice something happened? He answered him from heaven by fire. Now that is not very well known to people. That the climax, let me tell you, the climax of David's life was not when he conquered all the enemies of Israel. The climax of David's life was when he brought in the ark and when he was chosen by God to fulfill Deuteronomy chapter 12. Verse 10 and 11. And God put that seal on that climax on his life. When David was giving the offering, fire from God came down and consumed the burnt offering. And that is why when Solomon built the temple on that same place that God chose, we read in 2 Chronicles, the second round in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering that was there. There is something special about fulfilling a prophecy that has been waiting to be fulfilled for many, many generations. There is something special about that. That prophecy from Moses' time was waiting. During that dispensation, it's possibly between 500 to 700 odd years. He has been waiting dormant. Actually, more than that. You count all the years of disobedience. It's a long, long wait. The Church of Jesus Christ has been waiting to fulfill a prophecy that was uttered forth in Acts chapter 2. And I would assure you, as the days of Jesus Christ coming draw nigh, and as the church reach its climax, where the trumpet sound will be sounded by the angel, there will be signs in the heavens above, signs on the earth below. Because God always, if you notice something about our Father God, He always does something supernatural when it's something He promised that had been waiting for hundreds